thankful to be here, and it just kind of struck me as how many brothers and sisters we have here today that we haven't seen in quite some time. I could start going down the list, and I think as soon as I did, I'd start leaving some people out, but it did my heart good to see this place as full as it is, and a lot of old faces and some new faces and people that I like to, you know, I'd like to encourage, but I'd like to encourage myself. And I was looking back there, and I saw Brother Henry, looked right at home, saw Brother Shelby come walking in without Ron Johnson. You don't need Ron Johnson to be here, Shelby. It's good to see you. It's good to see Sister Elsie. It did my heart good to see her walk in. It did my heart good to see Joe Boyd. Brings back old times. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of history here, but what we do have, I felt my heart leap when you see somebody like that walk in. And it's good to see Sister Brenda here. Really good. And Sister Olivia, a voice from the face from the past. Not too far in the past, though. I don't make her not that old. We miss Randy. I miss Randy's a good friend of mine from way back, and I miss that old boy. And I'd really like to see him here again. It was good to see Sister Donna back here today. Actually, it's good to see my daughter here. Where's she at? Where's she too short? Oh, right there she is. She's right there. I was looking back there. And I know he wants me to leave him out, but it's good to see Donovan. Now, he's hard to miss. I'll tell you my favorite Donovan story. Donovan gets in my car one day. We're going up to Batesville to a meeting, and I smell this smell. Real pretty smell, but I can't place it. I said, Donovan, what's that smell? Oh, that's this new hair treatment my grandma got me. I said, really? He said, a hair treatment? I said, what's it called? He goes, bunny tickles. I said, you put bunny tickles on your hair? He said, bunny tickles. I said, I know that's not what it says on the box. Because that's what it said. My grandma bought it for me. I said, spell bunny tickles. He goes, B-O-T-A-N-I-C-L-E-S. I said, Donovan, that's botanicals. That's not bunny tickles. So whenever I see Donovan, as big as he is, I still think bunny tickles. It's good to see Sister Abraham. Trying to think who else. As I was scanning out over the crowd, I've never said this, but good to see Randy. I know he's been down here for a couple of weeks, but, you know, I feel a kindred spirit from him, and I really feel a good spirit. I feel a good spirit here today, and I just wanted to let God know I'm thankful.
Yes, I appreciate all these that are here. Sister Brenda, I didn't mention her in Bible study. It just seems like when you see her here, you just looks normal. But aren't we glad to have her? Amen. And then Brother and Sister Stewart, seniors. They fight health problems quite a bit, but we're sure glad when they're here. And Brother Donovan has a mama, Sister Holly. I sure wish we could get her hooked in here. And not that she don't have any hook, but I'd like for her to swallow it. You ever went fishing and had a fish swallow the hook where you couldn't get it out? That's when you know you're caught. Brother Durham still, did they move him out of ICU? Is he still in ICU? Fifth floor, room one. I don't know if he's still, probably don't need a whole gush of visitors. But he's hoping to get to go home. I think he wanted to go home today, but I don't know what he thinks he's going to do at home any more than what he's doing now. But he wants out of there. You know, it's like prison when you're in hospital. Thank God he's coming up out of it. Amen. Thank the Lord. I appreciate God's hand on his life. You know, if there's any good thing, I give God the credit for it. I don't look to. This is all. If God lets it happen by way of nature, well, that's all right with me. It's still God gets the glory. It's his. This is his creation, and he's watching over it. So something good happens to you, you ought to give God the credit for it and praise him for it. Sister Elsie. You know, Sister Elsie, I'm asking God to heal you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And I believe he can do it. He hadn't told me to quit praying that yet, so I'm still praying. I just was praying for her today, and I thought, God, you could just, you know, I just kind of envisioned bone cancer just drying up to nothing. You know, just that's all there was to it. God's able to do that. He's more than able. Amen. So, you know, but I'm glad she's here. She hadn't been able to come much lately, so it sure is good to have Sister Elsie in church with us. And Dave and Gail back. We've been missing them some. They've been tied up with. I understand that. My wife is, she said, I understand what it means to get to go to church. I keep praying for my mother because she just, she can't get out even out of bed without help, and she can't get to the bed to the chair without being almost carried. We can walk her with two people, but still, when she sits down, somebody's got to pick her up and set her on back in a chair because she can't get scooped back. She's just wearing out, you know. But we do have therapist coming and working with her. So, but I'd like to see Sister Smith get to a place where she could get, you know, be in services.
Amen.
Brother Crow, Sister Crow called me the other day and said she's going to the hospital. They was going to let Brother Crow come home. But she called me this morning and said he's still in the hospital. I thought he went home. So he's in 4B and, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, they're doing some rehab with him, and so she wanted to come to church today, but she said I better go to the hospital and help with him. So. Anyway, let's keep praying for Brother Crow.
Four broken ribs.
Yeah, he had four broken ribs. He's in 4B. He's still in 5E.
They moved him?
Yeah, he's in 4B area in room 110. Room 110. Pretty sure that's right. In the VA hospital in Little Rock. Can't hear you. Brother Talley and Brother Weiniger went to see him. They let him in, but that's when he's in 5E, so they may not let you in now since they've moved him.
They can go, but not too many at one time because he's in a room with two other men.
Okay. All right. Well, let's remember these things, and then sure good to have Sister De La Rosa, Sister Olivia, or Sure Kitchen. Yeah, I guess that's how. And then what's the little kitchen's name? Haley? Kaylee. I need to remember that. I dedicated her to the Lord, didn't I? You remember that, Kaylee? I figured you would. Yeah. All right, that's an important step in life, so you're sure to remember it. At least you remember somebody telling you it happened, huh? Anyway, she likes to come to church, so that's good. And then Sister Tara, Sister Tamara, Taryn, that girl back there in that orange dress. Yeah, I'm glad she's here too. I don't know if we mentioned her or not, but it won't hurt to say it again. All right. Sister Amy, come sing us a song. While she's thinking about what to sing, let's stand and ask God to meet these needs. What else do we need to pray about? Anybody have something you want to mention? Yes. All right. Let's. All right. Remember that, Sister Elsie? All right. Her daughter, Brenda. Right. The rest of her family. Sister Abraham. Her family, yes. Remember that, Sister Durham. Yes, her sister Helen has cancer. Brother Matthew. All right. Remember that request, the girls. Brother Painter. Good. Yes, let's continue. I know people have been praying for her, but continue to pray for her. Sister Sandra? All right, her sister, Brother Paul David's working. Sister Lacey? All right. Her mother, Sister Wilson, she's here, isn't she? There she is. Pray for her leg. She's got a wound on it that's having a hard time to heal. All right, Brother Thompson's children. Brother Mike Crafton, he's out of town today. Sister Holly's out of town. Sister Cindy. Okay, her mother and then her brother. Yes, Brother Mark's brother. Yes, Brother Joe. Boy, they mentioned him being here, but I don't know if we clapped for him, did we? He, you know, there is something to that. It just makes you feel good. Yeah, it does. Clap for Brother McGowan. Let him know how much we appreciate it. Don't clap for yourself. We're clapping for you. Yeah, it does feel good, don't it? Anyway. Brother Pryor wants to be clapped for. Let's pray for him. See, does that feel good? Don't that feel good? All right. Any other prayer requests? Sister. Brother Larry Bright. Sister Rachel. Okay. Her mom. Didn't I see her here? Oh, she did. All right, let's remember her. Brother Randy. Yes. Sister Pat Authors. All right. Keep praying for Brother Randy Ayers, too. He's, you know, trying to get situated and making a lot of changes, and that's kind of hard on your whole system. So keep praying that God would help him. Yes, Jenny, too. Yes, we've been trying to keep her, holding her up in prayer. So let's remember that. All right. Remember these other assemblies, Wichita, Republic, churches in Canada, and Brother Rivera over in Haverhill, Lynnell, and need to add him to that, in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and the Dominican Republic pastors. Remember them. Brother Keith has three requests. He wants us to pray for. Sister Karen? Who? Brooklyn. Oh, Brooklyn, yes. We can't have nothing wrong with Brooklyn. All right, let's ask God to help us with these needs. Precious Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. God, meet these needs, Father. Help us, oh God, we're your children. Oh, Lord, our petitions are to you. None other do we trust, oh God. Our trust is in you, Lord. You're our shield, our buckler. You're our great physician, our help in the time of need. Oh, God. Oh, precious Savior. God, touch these that are sick in their body and have urgent needs and in the hospital. Brother Durham, Brother Crow, Sister Richie, God, touch her and raise her up. Oh, God, help these that have these cancer conditions. Sister Pat, Sister Elsie, God, heal her. God, oh, God. Yes, Lord, you've healed ever since the beginning. Oh, God, there's not a time that you're not able to touch your children. We thank you for that, Lord. Oh, God, meet these needs. Oh, God, these that are sick in their body today. God, touch them and help them. Those that couldn't be here, those that need your encouragement, Lord. And those that are out of town, God, watch over them, protect them. Our loved ones, our unspoken needs that you know of, oh, God. God, oh God, we just lift them up to you today. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Brother Daniels, reside over the offering, if you would. appreciate these songs and the Lord helping us. Where would you be without God today? You ever thought about that? What would happen to your life if you had never had a touch to you? Or if you hadn't responded to Him? It's out in the world. We've been talking about this process of salvation, process of overcoming, and the process of perfection. It's so closely tied together that it's hard to separate. You really can't separate it. You can identify it. We've been working on that some in Bible study. I still would like to encourage you to come to Bible study, because we work on more of the meat there. This part, worshiping God, is important, but your growth and development and the understanding of the Word of God and the knowledge of God's Word is important, because the true worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I said this morning in Bible study, your faith is no greater than your knowledge. A lot of people have false faith. You're just believing in something that you want to believe in is not faith. You have to have a knowledge of God. Your faith depends on you having the truth of God's Word. If you want to turn to the 10th chapter of Romans, I've been quoting it. Most of you know this scriptural setting, but it helps. Our young people need to see this in black and white. And we need to be reminded. Peter said to stir up your pure minds by reason of remembrance. Oh, your pure mind is talking about that's the part of your mind that's God's renewing. He's renewing it with the truth of the Word of God. That's why Peter called it your pure mind. Because your carnal mind's not pure, but your spiritual mind is. God's trying to move us over and are having our minds transformed and renewed. Adam had a new mind. But when he fell and men were corrupted, and sin's corruption brought the environment that is now in this world, and has been for several thousand years now, there's a need for our minds to be renewed, to be reconciled, be brought back to the mind that God wants us to have, the mind that Adam had in the garden before the fall. And so in Romans 10, Paul is making a case for salvation. When he said in the verse 9, it said, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can't really believe that without God touching you. It takes God to help you to even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. you know, it's one thing to have something in your heart. It's another thing to confess it, get it. Because that makes a commitment. A confession is a commitment of your belief, of what God's caused you to hear, what God's touched you and caused to rise up in faith in your heart. For the Scripture saith, "Whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that calleth upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So when God touches you and you begin to cry out to him, recognizing your need for salvation, he'll save you from your sins, your past sins, and your current sins. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" You could say of God there. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them." He's quoting from Isaiah 52. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" In other words, there's some people, you know, there's some people not, he could see, some people ain't going to believe this. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world." There, he's talking about that world back there, that church back there preached this gospel all over that known world back there. And but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your faith is according to what God has made real to you. God, it takes men of God to preach this message. God gave five gifts of the ministry to that the truth of God's word would be heard by the saints. And when those gifts go into operation, they'll quicken your hearing. When God quickens a word of God to you and you hear it, you know it's the truth, you'll believe it because it was quickened to you by the Holy Ghost. Now you could be persuaded of men, but when you hear the truth and it's quickened to you, you'll believe it, and it'll be a knowledge that God has given you. Of course, I mentioned in Bible study that knowledge, just having knowledge and having it established in your behavior or your character, is altogether two different things. God can show you something. God can allow you to know something. But for you to get it in your understanding takes a process. That takes time. You can't be perfected by knowledge. It got to get in your understanding and in your behavior. It's got to become a part of you. And there has to be a time that knowledge is available. And to know to have God's fullness. I don't think that you have to know everything. I don't think you have to be able to explain everything in the Word of God or know every hidden thing, but you've got to know enough that your knowledge can, by faith, can become a part of your character to a point that you've developed into the fullness of God. Or how did Paul say it in his letter to the Ephesians? Till you come to the fullness, or to the fullness, let's see, to the measure of the stature of Christ, unto a perfect man. So, we're to be conformed to his image. He was, you know, he took on our image in the form of man, but we're to take on his image in the being born of God. I can tell you from my own experience in God that you can believe what you want to believe. You can believe, you know, in other words, you can try to believe God for whatever you'd want. Like the Bible, you know, there's a scripture in Psalms that says he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean anything you desire. It means that if you desire the right things, God will give them to you. You get the right things in your heart, God will give them to you, and he may give you some of the things that he don't really want you to have. You know, I mean, we can show that probably one of the best examples in the Bible is when the children of Israel desired meat, when God was giving them manna, he rained quail on them. You know, I mean, the earth, just here come these quail. And they ate quail until they got sick of quail. And the Lord gave them what they wanted, but it's not what God wanted them to have. God wanted them to have manna. That's what he wanted them to take, but they wanted something else. And God will let you have some of your desires within the realm of if it fits into his purpose or into his, if it doesn't violate what God's working in your life. And then there's things that we desire of God, but we don't know what his will is for it. Just like the Apostle Paul, that he was praying that God would remove. See, he had enough knowledge of God and of the Lord to know that God could meet some of his natural needs. And so he prayed for God to remove this thorn of flesh that was hindering him, thorn in his flesh. It wasn't a natural thorn, but it was a hindrance to him. He wanted it removed. There's all kind of speculation as to what it is. I've heard that it was could have been his eyesight, because he wrote one time that he knew that if they loved him enough, if they could, they'd pluck out their eyes and give them to him. Oh, his eyesight could have been failing, but I would think it's probably more has to do with this, the continual working of iniquity. Everywhere he went, people was against him, people worked against him, and, you know, I'm sure he wanted the Lord to deliver him. He sought God for that three times, he said. And finally, the Lord said, I'm not going to remove that. Sometimes we pray and ask God for things that it's out of his will. And then sometimes we're praying for things that we don't know what God's will is about it. It don't mean that God's not going to do it just because he don't answer your prayer when you want him to answer it. As long as you don't know God's will, you can keep praying and keep having hope, but you can't make God do something. You don't know what he's working on. His wisdom is not our, his ways are past finding out. God knows. He knows and understands things. Paul was in jail. Paul was in prison. Here's a man that gave his whole life to spread the gospel, and he was in prison. You don't think he ever asked God to get him out of there? Brother, it was cold in that dungeon. He asked him to bring him a cloak. And he also wanted some of the scrolls. He thought, well, as long as I'm in here, I might as well study some more, read them scrolls, and go over them. I'm sure he, sometimes I'm amazed at the men in the Dominican Republic. Because they don't have, you can't hardly, you can't find a study Bible in Spanish today that has all the study aids that we have in English Bibles. They just don't make them. I've tried to help them find them, and they just don't make them. And those guys, you know, when I went over there, they had Bibles, didn't even have center column references in them. But Emilio Green, I don't care what scripture you want to quote to him, he can just about tell you a chapter and verse where it's at. I don't care what scripture it is. He's that much of a theologian. He knows the Bible. He may not be able to tell you what it all means, but he knows where them scriptures are. Because he doesn't have to, he's never been able to rely on a concordance or the study aids that we have. I used to know what page, what side of the page. Of course, you can grow to a place, I do know this, that you finally get to know the Bible well enough that you don't have to know what page, what side of the page it's on. You can pretty well find it. It's, you know about where it's at or what book it's in, maybe what chapter. So I'm sure the Apostle Paul, he didn't have a Cruden's Concordance, I know that. In fact, he didn't even have a New Testament, but he had that old, the scrolls of the Old Testament. And I'm sure that they, you know, another thing about the people in the Dominican Republic, they don't have as many things as you and I have to distract them. You know, if you're poor and you're sitting at home, you don't have a job, you don't have a TV, you don't have a computer, you don't have a smartphone, you know, if you love God, you might as well read the Bible. You'll learn something. So they do have more time. I remember many times I've been over there, I'd go visit more than one. Several times I went to visit men of God or pastors or even ministers, and when I go to their house, they would be in prayer. Their wives would say, well, they're praying. There's been times that they've took me up on top of the house. Most of the houses over there have flat roofs. And several times I've had them take me up on top of the house, and a man would be up there on top of the roof praying. Up there with his little Bible. A lot of them just had little Bibles. And they'd just be up there praying, seeking God, and studying. Well, the Apostle Paul, I'm sure when he was in prison, you know, he was studying, and God had God and the things of God on his mind, but he couldn't get out of prison. God wouldn't let him out. And you would think that the Lord would want him out of there. See, God was working something in his life, and one of the things that, see, we read that scripture this morning in Philippians where nothing's to be done with vainglory, just for yourself. God had Paul in prison. Do you know he saved about nearly all the guards in that prison and their families? God gave him free room and board and a place to preach. I'm sure he looked at that way after he got to seeing what God was doing. He never did see him begging for God. Never did hear him telling him, pray God will get me out of here. He was busy in there. Well, you say, well, you know, I'm not Paul. Well, but my point to you is that you don't know what God might be doing, what he may be working on. Sometimes we'll suffer through something for several years before we see God's purpose in it. And you can't go by what man says. God can change anything that man's doing. He's able. And so as long as we've got hope, we can hope in God. You're never shut down, because if you don't know God's will, keep praying. Just keep asking God. Keep believing that he's going to do something. But as long as he doesn't answer your prayers, accept the fact that he's not willing to change this right now. That don't mean you can't keep praying, you can't keep hoping, but you just have to accept the fact God knows what he's doing. And his wisdom's higher than mine. As far as our, you know, our faith for our situations. But our, that all has to do with our knowledge. See, I'm still dealing with knowledge. You still have to know that God is not a cosmic Santa Claus that's just going to do whatever you ask him to do. Just because you want him to do it. And that's why it's important to get closer to him, to know more, understand his word better, have more knowledge of the word of God. If you back up to the eighth chapter of the book of Romans, this process we've been talking about is in this, Paul goes over this in the seventh chapter, and I'm not going to go back and read it for time's sake, but Paul identifies, he's working in the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth chapter of the book of Romans on the law and grace. He's trying to help them understand that that under the law, you could never reach a place that you could overcome the Adamic nature. One of the reasons is because you've got to be born again. Under the law, you couldn't be born again. You have to be born of God. Like I said this morning, you can have, having the Holy Ghost is like having a $100 bill in your pocket, hiding it in a secret place in your wallet and never spending it. It's of no benefit to you. The Holy Ghost is of little benefit to a lot of people that have it, because the Holy Ghost is a nature of God that you've been born of. And when you're born to that, you don't ever lose that. You're God's child. You've been born of God. That nature's in you. You're his child. But you don't ever operate in that nature. You continue to operate in the Adamic nature, the carnal nature of Adam. And unless you develop the Holy Ghost nature, unless you, unless the knowledge of the Word of God begins to change your mind, and your mind is, becomes renewed and pure, you're going to think carnally. You're going to continue in the carnal mind, and the Adamic nature is going to keep, it's going to be the one manifesting. But if, until you get to a place that the Holy Ghost nature has a mind to operate, to manifest with, the character of the Holy Ghost nature begins to develop. That's why I'm trying to use these two definitions of overcoming and perfection. You're overcoming the Adamic nature. You're mortifying the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. That's the Spirit of your mind. The Holy Ghost quickens you, and you begin to do the Word of God. You put it into practice. That will crucify or cause you to overcome the Adamic nature. It'll also help you develop maturity or perfection in the inner man. So the process of overcoming is overcoming the Adamic nature. The process of being perfected is perfecting the inner man. There's two natures you're dealing with in overcoming and being perfect, being perfected. You're overcoming the old man, you're being perfected in the new man. And the way that's done is by the renewing of your mind, being transformed and developing and maturing in this Holy Ghost nature. So, but you can't do one without the other. So Paul identified in the seventh chapter of Romans, he said, there's a war. He said, when I, there's a law, he said, that when I do good, evil's present with me. But he said, I delight in the law of God after the inner man. That's in verse 22. So, and that's the way we delight in the law of God after this holy, our Holy Ghost nature. When it's touched by the Word of God, that's quickened by the Spirit of God, that nature responds to that And we delight in that. It sounds good. It feels right. It connects with our Holy Ghost nature. But there's another law, Paul said in verse 23. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He's talking about them. He's still working on the mind. Your mind, your carnal mind, brings you into captivity to the law of sin that's working in your members, because your mind has been trained up in the way of carnality, in the way of Adam. And until you can crucify that way of thinking and develop the righteousness of God's mind, that's what happens to us. We come to church, we feel good, we get blessed. Then you go back out during the week and somebody, does something. Any of y'all have road rage? When you're reviled, you're not supposed to revile again. You ever have anybody just, in a car, just run up, behind you and tailgate you real close, or pull up beside you and you can't get out, you're trapped? How do you feel about that guy? Is any of y'all just, trumpet when you can get around? You ever have where you speed up to 80 and he's right on your tail, 80 mile an hour? I mean, he's set right there, just right beside you, right behind you, doing 60, 65, and got you trapped. But when you get out in front of him and you speed up to 80, he's right there 80 with you. Going up to 85, 90, he's right there with you. Are you reviling again? I said, this developing in this Holy Ghost nature, we should be. I'm going to put me in here with you. I'm not cured 100% yet. But you got to get this knowledge and you got to get some understanding before you can get to where I'm saying. God can help you get to a place when somebody reviles you, instead of something in you rising up to revile again, in the Holy Ghost nature, your compassion, God's love, and your compassion will look at that person and think, oh God, and pity will rise up in your heart for them. Because you'll see the Spirit that's causing them to be that way. I won't mention the Spirit's causing you to be that way too. But when I'm talking about when you genuinely is Arkansas, you're for genuinely. When you genuinely can compassion goes out. Somebody rises up against you instead of you responding right back. But compassion's in your heart. You actually don't see what they're doing. You see the reason they're doing it and the Spirit that's in their heart. And compassion rises up in you. Think, God, how could I help? Could I help them? Even if you can't help them, you still have pity for them. Because you know what spirit that is, because you've had it too. See, that's God helping you and developing you. And when we get in that spirit, we're going to affect people. That's going to affect people. When you can love people that's not loving you. When the love of God is really shed abroad in your hearts. Shed abroad. Everybody say shed abroad. Yeah, God, he may have shed his love abroad and it got on you and it got in your heart, but the love of God should be shed abroad from you into the world and touching others. And so Paul said, I see this other law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. See, when he began to see this, he thought, oh, God. He's trying to teach them, but he realizes, what I'm telling you, I got the problem. I got the same problem you've got. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that's a little bit difficult to unravel, but with your mind you may know the law of God, what he's saying. If you're trying to keep God's law, your mind knows that. You try to serve that, but still it's not in your behavior. You're still carnal in your actions and what you're doing. But then chapter 8, he begins to give the answers. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, see, you'll stay under condemnation as long as you know I keep doing what's wrong. But when God begins to help you to mature more, where you're walking after the Spirit of the Word of God, the truth of God's Word is operating in your mind, and you're not moving back over into carnal thinking. There's no condemnation in that. And he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. As long as you're operating in the righteousness of the Word of God, in that pure mind, then you're free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, we've got to be careful here to not weaken and water down what Christ came to do and what perfection really is. Because if you're not careful, you'll equate the law of grace with the law of Moses. You'll say, well, I know what the law says, and I can do my best to keep it. But that's the best I can do. No, there's another operation under grace. This born-again experience that imparts God's nature in you. Work something altogether different than what the law could work. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He did that as the first. He was the first fruits of that. He was the first one that was able to condemn sin in the flesh. He sent Him here because He was the only man that was born to God. There was nobody born of God. There's no way you could overcome sin. There's no way you could be perfected or mature in the inner man if you didn't have an inner man to be perfected in. Do you see the reason that you got to be born again? You can't perfect the old man, the Adamic nature. You can't perfect that. You have to be born again and develop the perfect nature or the Holy Ghost nature. It's got to mature to a place of full growth, when you can say, God, He's finished His work in me. He's finished His work unto perfection. That don't mean you'll never gain any more knowledge. It don't mean you won't ever get wiser. I think we'll be learning for at least the first 1,000,000 years. I don't know how long you'll keep learning, but it seems like to me it's almost infinite. But God, I don't know where the end of God is, if there is one. But there is an end to the carnal nature of man. That you can condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the law of God's righteous, but it couldn't be kept. It couldn't become a part of you. It couldn't be written in your mind and be put in your heart and become a part of your character until you were born again. That's why Christ came, is so you could be born again and that you could overcome the Adamic nature and grow up to maturity in a sinless nature. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded. That's the same terminology as a pure mind, spiritually minded. You got to be spiritually minded. Your mind's got to be transformed. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now any man that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. See, he's getting this nailed down. He doesn't mean that you can't have faith. He doesn't mean you can't repent. Doesn't mean that God won't accept you by faith, but you're still not his child, born of God, until you receive the Holy Ghost. You may be in the womb, so to speak. You may be counted. God may count your faith, but without the Holy Ghost, you're not born of God yet. That's what he's saying, and he put that in there for you to know you got to have the Holy Ghost. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, you're going to have a new body before God's done with you. But and the works of the flesh and the carnal mind working in it, but the work of God in the Spirit, of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost nature, that's the life of God. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So God's quickening you and he can quicken you and give you a new body. He can quicken you from the dead. If you die, you can be quickened by resurrection. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Through the Spirit, get that. You can't overcome this nature of sin by just sheer strength and putting your mind to it. You can, and you do. I've said this a lot of times. Commandments, even rules in the kingdom of heaven, are important. It's important for you to bring your flesh under subjection to the commandments of righteousness so God can deal with you. You can't just, you can't just say, well, I'll go to church whenever I want to. I just do this whenever, I do worry about some people because I think they compromise too much. But the commandments of righteousness, you've got to put them into place. There has to be an order. There has to be an authority that we bring ourselves in subjection to, the authority of the Word of God and the order of God. But you will not be perfected by doing that. But you can't be perfected without doing it. It just, it brings your flesh under subjection to where God can work with you. In other words, if you didn't show up here every time that we have service, God wouldn't have a chance to deal with you in here. But if you put that as a law to yourself, you're making yourself available to God. You're realizing I have to be faithful to make myself available to Him, and that's one of His rules, faithfulness. It's necessary to be faithful. And so you make yourself available to God. How many times you come to church, you know, and you didn't even hardly want to come, you just came. But before you left here, you got something from God. He touched your life. Sure. And that's because of that faithfulness of coming anyway is how you got it. And where am I at? What scripture am I at? 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. That's the Holy Ghost, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, if you've got the Holy Ghost, then anybody can tell you you're not God's child. You just, you know, now you may get in such a dry place that you may even doubt it, but when God quickens that again in your life, you know it's real. And you know that you're God's child. You know He's touched you. The Spirit of God bears witness to that in your life. You couldn't serve God if you couldn't feel Him. I can just tell you that right now. You'd give up. It wouldn't take you very long to give up. And if you're children, then you're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So, this is a process that God's working in your life and in my life. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, I don't care what you go through. God's aware of it. And what God's going to do for you in this transformation process and this developing this inner man in you unto perfection, whatever you go through in this life, He said it's not worthy to be brought up or even compared with the glory. And I can say that today. I mean, what God's done for me, it's I can't go back and say, all you know, the things I've suffered, I can't compare that with what God's done for me. What God's given me, what the knowledge He's given me, the understanding He's given me, the touches, the blessings, the favor, all what God, the benefits that God's given me, I can't even, I mean, it makes me feel, you know, like it's not even worth mentioning what I've suffered. And then you and I hadn't suffered nothing. Any of y'all been thrown in jail like the Apostle Paul in a cold dungeon because you believed in Jesus Christ? You've been whipped. He was whipped with, what did they call it? Cat of nine tails. How many times? 3 times, wasn't it? Or more. Yeah, no, 3 times. 40 stripes minus one. So 39 stripes. You know, would you feel a little bit bad about God if He let you suffer, go through that? I'll tell you one thing it'd do for God. It'd let Him know how much of Him you really have. It'd let God know. I know you're thinking, well, couldn't God know some other way? But let me tell you something. Man, the carnality of man is corrupt. I wonder how many of y'all seen that post on Facebook yesterday about Paul Harvey in 1964. Any of y'all see that? We ought to get that. We ought to print it out. If you hadn't got that, we'll share it. Find it and share it with one another. My wife read it to me. Paul Harvey in 1964 prophesied what's going on in our world today. It's almost amazing. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, this world needs to see a manifestation of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This whole creation of God is in a state of yearning and groaning and looking, and man is searching for something that satisfies. Thank God we sing that song. I found something that satisfies. Right here upon this earth, I found the body of Christ. Through God's mercy, I'm striving for the bride. My God, what a song and what a hope that God put that in your heart to even know what the bride is. Do you know how many people that are God's children don't even know what it is? They don't know what the bride is. They think that the whole church is going to be caught away in the bride. And I'm not belittling them for that. I'm just telling you how blessed you are to have greater understanding than to believe. That's not faith. They're not believing something that's true. They're just believing, you know, the best that they can make out of it, or the best that's been offered them. But you and I, we're singing songs all the time that lines up with the Word of God. That's such a great revelation. And and not only they, not just the creation, but ourselves also, which have not the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're in a travail. We know there's a warfare going on. We're in a travail to be transformed. And we know that when God finishes the work in us, we arrive at a full matured state of perfection, that there's a glorious new body like unto His body that we're going to live in. If the tabernacle of this house, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, be dissolved, we have a house made without hands, made of God. We're going to be clothed with a new body when God finishes this work in us. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. Here, this confirms some of what I'm talking about. Let me read that again. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes that's all you can do, is just groan in the Spirit. Just groan, and you can feel a travail. You don't know how to even express it. Sometimes you don't know what you are to pray for, how you are to be seeking God. But the Holy Ghost, you can feel a groaning in the Holy Ghost and a yearning in the Holy Ghost for God's will to be worked in your life. And in the things that you're concerned about even. And he said, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Ghost, God will help you as you seek God. God will, you know, in other words, you'll get in a place. I know y'all have done this, but if you haven't, you will. You need to. Where you get in the Holy Ghost, you begin to pray, and you can feel in your Holy Ghost nature. You can feel where you're starting to yield over all of your will. And you get in a place where you can feel it. You're just saying, God, your will. Whatever you want to do with my life. However you want to lead my life. Whatever you want to do. However you want it to be, God. You can feel that yielding over, the Holy Ghost helping you to yield your will over to Him. And letting Him take control of your life. My God, we need this Holy Ghost life. We need this nature, and we need to operate in it as often as you can. That's why these prayer, when you come up for prayer, and these moves of the Spirit, that's why it's important to get in them. You may come up here and you may not get everything you want, but if you keep coming, you'll come one time and you'll get a dose of something you never had. You'll finally get a breakthrough. Don't quit trying to get a breakthrough. And then don't be so proud that you can't yield over to the Spirit of God in front of your brothers and sisters and get a good, you know, just get dunked in the Holy Ghost, the waters of the Holy Ghost. Just let yourself get soused, so to speak. It's good to get drunk in the Spirit. It's good to get, you know, just out in the Spirit and just get. Do you know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know what is most entertaining? You know the people that entertain you the most in entertainment field? You know what they're doing to entertain you? They're getting free from all of the binding of everything around them and all their fears, and they just being their self. They can just let go and do whatever they're trying to do. That's what blesses people. You know, you seen anybody that could really dance good? They're just letting it all hang out. Somebody that, you know, it's just people that they're just able to let themselves go. You need to entertain God by just letting go. You know, forget about what people like. And as a matter of fact, there's nothing blesses me any more than just seeing somebody turn loose and let God get a hold of them. That blesses me. I love that. We ought to all do that sometime together. Or just get wild. Just let it go. Yeah. And we know that all things work together. Here's where this fits in here. We know that all things work together for good. Them that love God, to who are the called according to His purpose. For who He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. There's the process we're talking about. Well, I could go on, but I think you're getting, you know, we're getting it. This is a great process God's working in us. But I'm trying to help you serve Him, you know, by faith. You got to keep getting this good word of God. Don't forget that. Make that a priority to get more in your knowledge about Him, because your faith will be built up in Him, not in some false idea. You can have false ideas about God. You can get to thinking that God don't love you because He's not doing what you want Him to do. This isn't about you and what you want God to do. This is about what God needs to do in your life. And you got to let God, you got to let Him be God. You can't direct God. Who's had a mind to direct God? This is about us fitting into His will, His purpose, which, by the way, is for your good and for your... It's to bless you. It's to give you eternal life and to give you every good thing God created this whole creation for. So don't get down thinking, you know, this, you know. Look up. As a matter of fact, a big part of our problems is because of what's in our thinking right here. You could be a lot happier. We all could be happier. We could all find good things out of everything that is going on. We could have faith that God's going to see us through it rather than get down in the mulligubs and, you know, whine and cry and, you know. But we could lift up our heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. That's you. And the King of glory might come in. Oh, no, it says He shall. What a promise. Just lift up your head. Look to the Lord. I'll look to the hills from whence cometh my help. That's the hills of Zion. That's just a picture. We'll look to what God's doing. What God's doing in the body. What He's done for us. What He's brought us to. What He's doing in our lives. It's hard to thank Him for what you're going through right now. I don't care what it is. You're here. What God's doing in your life is, you know, some of what we're going through, we caused it. You know, everybody has to admit that. You know, if you didn't make all them bills, you wouldn't be having to struggle to pay all them payments. So don't blame it on God. You know, whatever you're going through, you probably caused the biggest part of it. But did you know God will still help you? He'll still help you. He may help you to get enough sense to quit doing things that is creating problems for you and teaching you how to be content with where you are in God. But you will enjoy. You can get to a place where you can enjoy wherever you're at in God. And even if you are suffering for things that we might have brought on ourselves, you know, He's still our Father. You don't hold it against your children just because they didn't do everything right, do you? You'll help them out of it, won't you? Sometimes, if they just keep doing it and disobeying you, you might let them go through struggle to get out. God might let you go through a struggle. That don't mean He don't love you. You can still go sit on His lap and tell Him about your troubles. He'll still love you. He'll still help you. Fact of business, I'll just tell you how God is. The more you humble yourself to Him and the more you yield yourself to Him, the more He'll help you, even if He wasn't planning on helping you. Because He's not planning on helping you if you're proud. He resists the proud, but he draws nigh to the humble. You want to get God on your side to help you out of, you know, have you been the little boy calling, hollering wolf? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that'll let, he'll forgive you one more time for hollering wolf if you'll get humble. If you really get humble and begin to seek him and begin to show him, if you really want his help, he'll say, all right, come here. He's that kind of God. He's full of mercy. His mercy endureth forever. What a God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. I think Brother Crow called and said he was going to try to be here tonight from Glenwood. The Crows, maybe they'll bring some of their people. Coles. I didn't mean Crow. I knew who I was saying. I just couldn't get it out. Huh? Yeah. You. All right. I'll see you at 5:00. We'll sing at 5:00. Okay? Shake hands and be. Look, Brother Jerry's on his feet. He's ready to go. He's taking me at my word. Band practice at 4:00.